The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
As you know, every time that NABE comes out a report, we like to have somebody on from NABE to talk about what's going on. Now, for those of you that are not familiar with that organization, they're a great organization, great people that we've had on over the years. They're the National Association for Business Economics. They're essentially... they've got 2,600 members. They've got 42 chapters nationwide. And they're a professional association for those of you who use economics in their work. And we are very pleased this morning to have with us the new NABE president, Lisa Emsbo-Mattingly.
Emsbo-Mattingly. You got it, Mike.
Did I do that right?
You did it right.
Thank you so much. I practiced it all night long. So, but thank you so much for that. And we're pleased to have you on this morning. I don't exactly know where to start, except that I was reading the report, and it doesn't seem like you're quite as optimistic as you were the last time from the last report.
Right, so, right. And I would say it's actually a glass half full. I would argue it's a glass half full, not a glass half empty type of report.
Oh,
but
nice.
You are correct that the forecasts have been coming down as we've gone through the year, and the number for 2015 came down and the number for 2016 came down. That said, we do have a GDP forecast that next year the panel expects that GDP, real GDP, will be running at 2.6% versus about 2.2% this year.
Now, were they how far? And you know what's interesting to me, Linda and Lisa, and you're in the financial industry, such as I. What's interesting
right.
to me is that every time about this time of year, people come out with their projections for next year, and they're either their market projections or their economic projections for GDP. And at least for the last several years, they've been far more optimistic than they've ended up in the year. Do you
exactly.
have any idea how? Do you not have any idea how? I've never actually held NABE up to the glass. You know, I get chuckles out of Goldman Sachs and some of the folks that are out there doing that because I think I read some of their things and I think it's all for gathering press, kind of like the Donald Trump
sure.
way of finance. Do you think these are going to be fairly accurate? These numbers that you're throwing out now?
Yeah, I think that the track record for the NABE survey has been quite good, and I think that it's the best thinking of 49 forecasters. So it certainly will not hit the extreme, so it won't be an extreme number that you get from this survey. It's probably a middle-of-the-road consensus type of view. But historically, they've done a pretty good job. Most forecasters, they tend to have difficulty when things are really going pear-shaped. But that's not what the panelists seem to think is going to happen next year.
Yeah, and we like NABE because I think it's a good cross section, you know. And you're also folks that are not tend not to be persuaded by bosses that are on Wall Street. They tend to like to. Some of them like to have their numbers the way they like to have their numbers. We don't have much time for the break, but in fact, I guess we're in our last 30 seconds, so I think I'll just shut up and go into the next. I'll wait till the next segment. So, Lynn, if you'll just stay with us, I've got a lot of questions to ask. Folks, we're going to have a great show for you. Stay with us. You're listening to Straight Talk Money.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We are very fortunate to have with us the new NABE president, Lisa Emsbo-Mattingly. In addition to being the president of NABE, she is the director of research in the Asset Allocation Division of Fidelity Management Research. I don't think I have to tell you who Fidelity is, but we'll talk a little bit about Fidelity but later on. She had a lot of interesting things to say during the break, but we're going to focus right now back on the NABE report. And Lisa, the NABE report was a little more modest than it has been in the past, and they downgraded the remaining forecast for 2015 because we've had kind of a rough second half of this year. Do you think this is going to carry on into next year? Because forecasts seem to be modest at best for next year. But frequently when you start a down slide, sometimes it kind of slides on into the next year. What are the thoughts?
Sure. Well, again, there's a sort of a steady eddy in the GDP numbers that we've been seeing all year, and the panel believes that we're going to see going into 2016, and that's personal consumption expenditures. That's the household sector. And even though there's quite a few concerns about some of the retail reports we've seen from different retailers over the last couple of months, we are believing that personal consumption expenditures are going to grow at a 3% rate next year versus 3.2% this year. So I would call that a steady eddy view on the consumer. Mm-hmm. The big drag going into next year is going to be trade, with the U.S. trade deficit continuing to widen. And that's typical at this point in the business cycle, where you have been growing quite a bit, and the rest of world is very, very weak, and that increase in the trade deficit for the U.S. is going to be the biggest drag on growth. The biggest positive for growth is going to be coming from capital spending. The panel is optimistic that capital spending is going to accelerate into next year after the big hit we saw on the from the energy sector. Government spending is going to accelerate, and non-residential structures investment is going to accelerate. And one thing I'd point out to you, Mike, is that it is an election year, as you pointed out a little bit earlier. And politicians certainly like to make sure that the government spending spigot is turned on in an election year. And the highway bill may be an indication that that indeed will be the case going forward.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, oh, yeah. They like to do the best window dressing they can, and they usually do it with our tax dollars. Speaking of I was looking at the trade deficit, and you were expecting a higher trade deficit, but you're also expecting a hard landing in the Chinese economy. You had 87%, I think, of your respondents put the odds at less than 50%, but some of them think that we're going to have a hard landing in the Chinese economy, and that's what's affecting the markets this morning. Do you have any thoughts? I mean, I know Fidelity, you have a broad reach around the world. Any thoughts about what's going on in China? Should China be something we should be concerned about?
Oh, certainly. And if we think about the U.S. economy as the biggest economy in the world and the biggest source of aggregate demand in the world, China has been, for the last decade, the biggest source of marginal demand. So whether it's copper or iron ore or a whole slew of commodities, if you wanted to find out who the biggest source of incremental demand was, it was consistently China. And China is in a very tough situation over the past year, already in a tough situation. And I think that a lot of the pricing in the commodity complexes and the currency markets has been reflecting what's happening in China. And certainly the data that came out over the last couple of days indicate that the story is still quite challenging out of China.
Yeah, and apparently that's being reflected in the markets this morning. I want to shift little bit to interest rates now, which is probably what's going to come up here in the next couple of weeks or so. And that's been a constant topic all year long, and from the pundits on Wall Street. Getting interesting now, because it looks like there's a high probability on Wall Street that the feeling is that they're going to raise interest rates. One of the interesting things about the NABE report is I saw that your panelists foresee non-farm payroll growth above 200,000 jobs a month for through 2016. That's pretty impressive. Could that possibly lead us to multiple interest rate increases, assuming that the Fed, you know, changes direction and start raising in interest rates?
Yeah, no, and I think that's, again, this sort of glass half full. If we do see those numbers, those 200K and higher per month in job increases out of the U.S. economy, the Fed will be certainly focused more on hiking rates than easing into the current environment. Again, I would one thing I would just mention is the survey was done in November before this plunge in energy prices and some of the turmoil we're seeing in the markets. So 87% of the respondents thought that the Fed was going to raise rates this month. I think that's the consensus view. And as you mentioned, the folks on Wall Street seem to think that the Fed is going to raise rates. And so that's what the expectation is. Obviously, a lot of things have happened in the last couple of days, and maybe the Fed blinks again. And unfortunately, they've just gone smack into their blackout period, which is when the Fed really can't talk to speak to us and give speeches and give us guidance. So it'll be very interesting to see what kind of present we open on Fed Day.
Do you think they're going to raise rates?
I think they will. I think they've whether or not we think they should raise rates, and I don't have a strong opinion either way. I think that they've basically have to raise rates at this point, given the signaling that they've given to the market.
Yeah,
I think it'll be very hard for them to walk away from it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's.
But they did it in September, so we'll see.
I think the question really is now for investors should be not that they're going to raise rates, but how frequently will they raise them, and what does the future look like? Because I don't think they were talking about a kind of a one and done thing. I'm not so sure they're going to do that, but it doesn't overall. I mean, for instance, I was looking at the NABE report. You know, things are okay in the United States, and as you pointed out, we are the strongest economy in the world. But don't you think that things aren't so rosy over here that, you know, that we can get back to business as usual and, you know, we get back to our 5% CD? It seems to me like we're a long way from being completely healthy in the United States.
Oh, you bet. You bet. So it's interesting. The market expects the Fed to do two more hikes in the next year. The Fed dots, the notorious dots that the Fed puts out in terms of what the folks on the board expects four hikes. The NABE panel thinks it's going to be three hikes. So I think you can sort of pick which one you think is the most likely. My guess is that certainly the NABE panel is pretty close.
I think so.
Three hikes.
Yeah, they're very smart people in NABE, and as I say, they're not influenced by Wall Street as much. Lynn, if you'll stay with us, I have just a few more questions to ask on the other side of the break. Folks, stay with us.
Great.
You're listening to Straight Talk Money, where we bring you the wisdom of Wall Street each and every day. Back in a moment.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We have been very fortunate today with us to have Ms. Lisa Emswell-Mattingly. In addition to being the incoming president of NABE, she's also the director of research at the Asset Allocation Division of Fidelity. Fidelity Management and Research in Boston. We're going to give her a few moments to talk to us about asset allocation. Just one more question, though, Lisa, on the NABE report. And you're looking for slightly lower expectations for inflation. And the last I heard, that was the one thing that Janet Yellen and company were looking at. So if we're going to get lower inflation, that would kind of give you an idea that maybe we're not going to at least not have very many price interest rate increases if there's not much inflation out there. Can you address what the panel had to say about that?
Sure. And it's certainly quite a day to be talking about inflation with the energy price coming down so dramatically yesterday,
right,
et cetera. But the panel does think that top-line CPI is going to accelerate as we go into 2016. They did take down the endpoint number, but it's still just under 2% in the fourth quarter of 2016. And you may say, well, where the heck is that coming from? And it does look like the panel thinks that it's coming from the labor market. And so compensation per hour, which is wages and benefits, et cetera, all in, is expected to accelerate from a 2.2% growth rate this year to 2.8% next year, and that's sort of that tailwind to inflation. The other thing I would mention is the panel was asked what they thought the non-inflationary rate of unemployment is, and the majority thought it was in the range of 4.75% to 5%. And as you know, the unemployment rate today is around 5%, and the panel expects that to fall down into the high fours, and that is really where that higher inflation into next year is coming from, at least from the panel's perspective.
Okay, but it doesn't seem to be much inflation out there, and certainly with oil being where it is, and we feel that very strongly here in Texas.
Oh, you bet.
I can't imagine much inflation next year. Well, let's move on. Let's get the consumer a little help here from Fidelity, because you're, as far as I know, you're the biggest financial organization on the planet, and based upon your position in the 401k market, you probably touch more souls out there than any other organization. From an asset allocation standpoint, that's a big challenge for people right now. I think, you know, the old 60-40 allocation doesn't quite work as well because they can't seem to find much on the fixed income side. Can you address, give the folks some ideas of some advice you might render on asset allocation going forward into this next year, knowing what you feel about how the economy is going to respond, inflation, interest rates, et cetera?
Sure. Sure. Well, one of the things that we focus on primarily is, and I put it very simplistically, direction and inflection. And, you know, I'm always interested in when something is close to a bottom and about to move up. A big component of that is valuation. And so if you are concerned about a market and it's expensive, then you really want to head for the hills, et cetera. I think as we go into 2016, ironically, I think a very big story that's been true for several years now has been the strong dollar, the deflationary story emanating out of China, the decline in energy prices. And ironically, I think that if we look at the valuation of those markets, they've gotten extremely inexpensive. And then the question is, do we get any kind of catalyst for any type of improvement in some of those markets? And I think that just to harken back to the NABE survey, if that survey is correct and that employment number is correct, that's a really big positive for the global economy. A strong U.S. consumer is very positive, not just for the U.S., but globally, especially with China in a tough situation currently. And I think that one of the things I would suggest thinking about as we go into the next year is signs of stabilization in some of these markets that have had such a tough time, you know, whether right. It's emerging markets or commodities.
Yeah, you know, the troubles in China probably took the emerging markets and turned them into submerging markets for a while now.
Right.
Are you optimistic about Europe? Draghi seems to be committed to doing whatever it takes to make sure that things stabilize over there and grow. Are you optimistic about Europe?
I am on a cyclical, on a business cycle basis, I am optimistic on Europe. I think if you look at the domestic economies there, they have been absolutely dragged through the mud in a very, very tough numerous years. We had our recession, and it was over. It was long and it was deep and it was painful. But, you know, after 24 months, we were crawling out of that. They've been in and out of recession for essentially four, even 5 years in some places, and they're finally seeing the light of day. And I think from a cycle perspective, Europe, the domestic economies in Europe, we're still pretty optimistic on Europe. Oh. And so that's the other point, is if the U.S. can be okay and Europe can continue to recover, even though we have this very weak signal emanating out of Asia, we could have a better year than expected next year.
Oh, good. Good. That's really, really great to hear. One last question quickly. You know, a lot of people retiring. They're looking for income. When they come to Fidelity, what is the recommendation for to help these folks get some more income?
Well, I would say, Mike, that I always say have a diversified portfolio. So that I will say yet again, do not put all your eggs in one basket. Mm-hmm. Do not search only for yield. I would highly recommend not only being in a fixed income portfolio, but also an equity portfolio, and diversification, and try not to day trade the market, because it's a really tough the market is a tough place to trade in.
It sure is. Yeah. It's gotten tougher. It's volatility is amazing now.
It
Lisa,
is.
Lisa, thank you so much for being with us today. It's just been wonderful to have you. And congratulations on your ascendancy to the president of NABE. They're going to have a very fortunate year to have you.
Thank you so much.
So, thank you. Have a Merry Christmas, ma'am. Thank you.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.